Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this fourth Sunday of Advent. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. Luke and talk about Mary as the symbol of Advent. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
Join the Diocese of Corpus Christi for the 2013 Texas Rally for Life. As dioceses from across the state gather for Mass and a march, in solidarity to the south steps of the state capitol in Austin to show that Texas is pro-life. This effort will commemorate the 40th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision in 1973, which legalized abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. Since that date, more than 53 million babies have been aborted. You must register by January 11th. For more information, call Tina Villegas in the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Life, Justice, and Human Dignity at 882-6191.
You'll enjoy a delicious dinner served by celebrity waiters, dancing to the music of five-card draw, live and silent auctions, a photo booth with celebrities, and much more. It's the Spirit Center Celebrity Dinner, set for Friday, January the 11th at the Ortiz Center, and it begins at 6 p.m. The invocation will be delivered by Bishop Mulvey. For sponsor or individual ticket information, please call the Fannie Blunzer Nason Renewal Center at 888-7537 or visit BlunzerSpiritCenter.org. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Barbara. Happy Fourth Advent.
I know.
Sunday of Advent, I'm sorry.
Well, and it's been wonderful. We're finally getting some Christmas holiday-type weather with it being chillier.
A little bit chillier, and it's quite welcomed.
Yes, it really is. And it's hard to believe that we're already at the fourth Sunday of Advent, Christmas in 2 days.
A couple days from Christmas, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have, a beautiful gospel from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this gospel account, which of course we read on the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, it is so joyful.
Right, yes. Right. And it's it's one that's very active. I mean, Mary's received at the Annunciation the announcement that she will be the mother of the Lord, and she sets out in haste. I love that that word that St. Luke uses, that she left and she went in haste.
Right.
So it was not I have to do this. It was,
and I have a few things to do before I leave.
Right. It's an anticipation to go to Elizabeth. And it may seem a little strange that it's proclaimed on this fourth Sunday of Advent, but certainly there is a Marian theme to Advent, because she certainly represents that whole experience prior to Christ's coming of the Anoim of Israel, who are awaiting the Redeemer to come, the Savior to be sent to them. And so she has in her very person, in her very spirit, that sense of anticipation, of waiting, of preparation, of being a sign of what is to come. And so certainly this scene of the Gospel of St. Luke, I think, represents another side of that, which we'll speak about in a little bit. But, I think to go back to the first part of this whole notion of waiting and of preparation is something that we need to, and of course here we are at the fourth Sunday of Advent speaking about it, but it's something that's for the rest of our lives. We need to re-enkindle in us the spirit of waiting and the spirit of preparation. Too often we are satisfied with what we have, of what we know, of what we're familiar with. And that kind of puts us in a more passive mode. And, I really believe in this year of faith that's a key theme for us, because we have become complacent, I think, as a church, as Christians, as people. And we miss that anticipation of something new. When everything else is collapsing around us, and the whole spirit of Christmas, the whole meaning of Christmas. I know that some of the media is really getting into this issue of the presence of Christ in Christmas and the hijacking of the meaning of Christmas, which we've seen for years. This is nothing new.
More and more secular.
I think in churches we've talked about this for years, but we're preaching to the choir there.
Right.
And now somehow it's reached the media as an alarming thing, which is true. I mean, it certainly is true that Christmas has been hijacked. But I think we have to look at ourselves as well. And so all of us that are listening today is examining ourselves before we start pointing fingers, because we do become complacent. So I think this kind of collapse of things around us, instead of getting involved only, and of course we need to correct, but only getting involved in the social side of it, we have to look at ourselves. And this is what the year of faith is about. Look at ourselves first. Do we live a life of expectation? Do we live a life of waiting for the Lord, of preparation for the Lord, of welcoming the Lord? This is what Mary did.
Mm-hmm.
She was there living her faith, but also anticipation of what was to come. This is the meaning of Advent, and our whole life is an Advent. Our whole life is a journey. The fulfillment and the total presence of the kingdom of God is not here. It's not yet. It's not that it was back when, when everything seemed to be in perhaps in many people's perceptions, when everything was in place in life, in our faith life, etc., when things were more stable in our society. That wasn't the parousia, as we said. That wasn't the coming of the Lord then either.
Mm-hmm.
We're always in motion toward what will be. And that is the fullness of life, the fullness of joy, the fullness of happiness, the fullness of peace and justice. That's all still to come. And so none of us can sit back and rest. It's life is that spirit of waiting, of preparation to receive the Lord.
Well, and it's interesting that this gospel happens, 2 days before Christmas, when people are either scurrying and checking things off their list.
Right.
I think it's a good time for us to reflect in regards to our preparation and our journey. Are we using a checklist saying, oh, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, so I'll be ready when the time comes?
Right.
Which
sure.
It's not the way to do it.
No. I mean, it's always to read the signs of the times, to see what still needs to be done in our own life and to examine ourselves in our own attitudes. And usually it's in confrontation I'm being confronted with, I don't mean in a negative way or in a mean-spirited way, but being confronted with what's opposite or what may punch a button,
mm-hmm.
In our life. It makes us reexamine what is my attitude, what is my my understanding of certain, for example, to see someone who's of a different faith or a different ethnic group or a different language, or these differences that we find in life are signs to us to look at ourselves. The whole immigration issue, what is our approach there? You know, who are these people? Do we even know who they are? Do we know where they come from? Do we know what they're looking for? Do we know all of these things? And certainly I'm not, we certainly need to work for just laws, and we need to be a law-abiding society, but still, people who are with us, who are different than I am, whether they're immigrants or not, it's a call for us to be prepared to live what will be, which is the kingdom of God, where all will be one, where all will be equal, where all will be loved by God. And am I measuring up to that now? This is where the Word of God, the gospel, is so important. And this, I think, is the great waiting and the great preparation, going back to that original theme that I was presenting here, that Mary presents to us, waiting for and preparing for Christ. And that is so powerfully rooted in His Word, not in a psychological theory, or not in good news that's human, but in the news that Christ brought us, the Word of God. And looking at that, do I measure up to that in my relationships with others, in my stewardship with my own, what's been given to me? Because we all are called to a unity of life, to be one family in Christ. And this is what Mary brings to us, as she brings to us the Savior. She responds, first of all, to the Word of God in her own life, says, yes, I will accept this responsibility. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me as you say. She accepts the Word. Her waiting in that sense is done, and her preparation for that is complete. But now, and this is the point I hope we can get to in the next segment at least, that now I have a responsibility. And so going back to ourselves in Advent, and again, not only the next 2 days, but all of our life is an Advent of preparing ourselves and waiting for the Lord, waiting for His Word in every situation. And this is something that we have to be aware of all of our life, or else we're going to sit back and either criticize what's not, but never be a part of what can be.
And so where Mary said yes, we want to say yes, but then continue right. That preparation all the way through. And I see it as opening our minds to new things.
Sure.
Whereas we might have had been closed-minded in regards to, you mentioned just for an example, the immigration issue, to open up our minds and to learn.
Well, even in our own families. I mean,
absolutely.
This is family time. You know, we always, you may this Christmas be with a family member that's new to the family, and there might be an immediate judgment. I mean, let's face it. I mean, we're all human beings, mm-hmm. and something may disturb you. But again, that brings up in me some kind of a feeling, some kind of a thought. But the question is, what does Jesus say about that? What gospel relates to that? And I have to listen to that.
Right.
But if I don't know the gospel, if I'm not familiar with Christ, if I don't know Christ, I won't know how to respond. So I respond in a totally human way. We're human, and we have to work through that. But at the same time, the light in every situation, and I'll use the family situation because everyone experiences it, mm-hmm. especially at this time of year. But what does Christ say to me in the gospel that says, approach this differently, look at this differently? Not that we accept things that are, you know, objectively wrong, but there is a person there to be loved, to be understood, to be welcomed, to be brought to Christ, to bring to the light, not try to block the light into mm-hmm. that person's life by my own inability to even say hello or to smile.
Right.
But to be a channel, as Mary was. She was a channel of Christ. She was a channel of grace. She was a mediator in that sense of Christ's presence in our world today, and that's who we are in her, with her as a model, and that's what Christmas is about.
And we're going to continue our conversation on what Christmas is about and what we need to do for preparation. So please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Carmel Home will hold a traditional 40-hour devotion beginning December 29th at 4 p.m. and ending December 31st at 9 a.m. The devotion will begin and end with Holy Mass. Bishop Michael Mulvey will preside at the closing Mass at Mount Carmel Home Chapel, 4130 South Alameda. Adorers are needed for all 40 hours. For complete information, or to sign up for a specific time to spend in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, you may go to Mount Carmel Home or call them at 855-6243.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, I was reading the Magnificat. There were some, you know, readings for this particular Sunday, and someone quoted that Blessed John Paul II said, "Mary teaches Christians to live their faith as a demanding and engaging journey, which in every age and situation in life requires courage and constant perseverance. The visitation is the first Corpus Christi procession." Isn't that beautiful?
That's very symbolic, very artistic, I would say,
yes.
You know, to have that kind of an image of Mary with, you know, containing Christ.
Right.
The Eucharist in Christ, and that her being that ark, you might
exactly.
We oftentimes call her the new ark with the covenant of Christ, the new covenant in within her, and proceeding with her to Elizabeth is certainly a procession to go to humanity, to go to her in her need and bring Christ to her. So it's a beautiful image, I think, for us also in looking at life at the beginning, at conception, you know, that there she is, Christ not even born yet into our world, but present. And this is the thing about life. Life is so beautiful and something we continue to reflect upon and must continue to defend, that life in the womb is presence. It's a presence of Christ. It's a presence of creation, of that God has created, and so it is presence. And so to see what the Pope and the implications of that the Pope brings out, that Mary is proceeding to Elizabeth as a procession with Christ in her. So it's a beautiful image.
It's tremendous.
And shows
very
her
beautiful.
Responsibility. You know, Mary goes with a sense of responsibility, as he says there, to Elizabeth.
Well, and courage and constant perseverance, which we need to have too throughout
sure,
our journey.
Sure.
Well, and talking about images, you know, this passage in the Gospel where when Mary showed up at Elizabeth's house, the child in Elizabeth's womb recognized the presence of the Lord. John the Baptist leaps for joy in the presence of Mary's child. I mean, that's what a visual.
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, sometimes people look at these as literal and say, well, who was there to write all this down? Well, you know, we have to understand that the Gospels were written after the death and resurrection of Jesus. So it's going back, and with that new faith that Christ is the Messiah, that he has died for us, redeemed us of our sins through his resurrection and his return to the Father, then the church went back. And when the church existed first, we have to understand that. The church existed by the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, gathering us together, and then going back. And I'm sure Mary herself was there and was, you know, we can only imagine, certainly consulted to tell these stories, to go back and recapture not just the event. And I think this is something we, especially in a story like this, we need to be aware of, not just to capture the events, the people, the places, the scenery, the smells, you know, which we certainly love at Christmas, the nativity scenes and the wise men. But what do they say to us today, to look at that new and hidden meaning, that eternal meaning that was there from the beginning? I think this scene of John the Baptist leaping in his mother's womb with joy, and Elizabeth herself, really for me, as I meditate on it, look, it's humanity today waiting for Mary to come to it with this procession of Christ, with this Corpus Christi bringing Christ to others. So, from our first segment, we see Mary as the one who prepares herself, who waits for the Lord, who receives the Lord, and now she must go. And who does she go to? To whom does she go? Put it in better English. To whom does she go? She goes to her cousin Elizabeth, who is also with child, unexpectedly because of her old age.
But miraculously.
Miraculously. But she, too, welcomes Mary and recognizes the mother of her Lord, and John the Baptist comes forth with this total sense of joy in the womb recognizing the Savior whom he in time will be the precursor and point people to. What does that say to us? Again, reading the signs of the times, reading the scriptures with a broader vision of our responsibility to bring Christ on this engaging journey, as the Pope says, with courage and perseverance. It's to bring Christ to others. We've been talking about this so much lately, but I think it's something we have to keep repeating to let it sink in more and more. Each one of us has that responsibility. If we have received, then we must give. That is the law of God. That is the law of the gospel. If you have received, you must give. Mm-hmm. There's just no two ways about it. We hear so often, you know, about rights and responsibilities, and it's easy to accept the rights, what I'm due, even sacramentally.
Give it to me.
Yeah, the church. Give I mean, me. I'm due baptism. I have the right to marriage. I have the right to this. I have the right. But we don't see it also as gift, and so it's not just a right that I have. It certainly is as a human being, but it also implies a responsibility. And this is where I think in many parts of our life, we fail. We don't totally engage ourselves with the responsibilities that we have in life. Receiving even in the sense of stewardship, the talents that I have, what good are they if they only serve me? Mm-hmm. What good are they? That's not what life is about, and that's not why we are endowed with gifts, why we are given. And if I only take it as a right that I have, then I'm going to close in on myself and say, that's mine, and I have the right to it. No, it's a gift, and you have the responsibility of sharing it. And that is also with faith. And during this year of faith, this is something, a fundamental theme that we all need to be conscious and aware of. We have been given faith. We don't have a right to it. It's a gift. And it has to be nurtured. It has to be nourished by the Word, by study, by the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, receiving the Word of God, as we speak about so often, studying the Catechism, etc., participating with the sacraments with a new understanding, not just in the external form, but what does it imply in my life? If I'm receiving Christ, as we spoke of in this Corpus Christi procession, if I have received Christ in his body and his blood at Mass on Sunday or maybe even every day, then I have a responsibility to bring Christ to others. And I think this scene of the visitation is really captures that whole sense of Christian life. Mary has received, she's waited for, she's prepared, she's longed for the Savior. She's now received him, and she goes immediately to Elizabeth. It's gift. It's not a right. It was a gift that she said yes to, and now, probably implicitly understanding, mm-hmm. She has the responsibility to go to Elizabeth, who in this context represents all of humanity.
Right.
And I can only imagine Mary recounting that story to the apostles,
right.
as that was passed on orally, to be eventually collected in the Gospels, mm-hmm. telling that story. I felt I had to go to Elizabeth.
Right.
Something new happened to Mary in that moment when she received Jesus. And the freshness of that, and that's what preparation for Christmas is all about, not just going through the motions, as you mentioned last segment, of checking off things off my list, but is the encounter with Christ new? And if it is new, then it will light up something inside of us. Mm-hmm. It's a new awareness. It's a new responsibility to go to that person that is in need, and they will recognize that. That's the beauty of this passage, that Elizabeth recognized not just her cousin, but the mother of her Lord. And John the Baptist confirmed it by leaping with joy. And so we can't go to people. Our responsibility is not to go to people as we always have. This past week, I was had the privilege again of going to the McConnell unit of the prison system in Beeville, and to be with the St. Dismas community there with the men who were incarcerated. But, you know, I tried to go with that spirit of Mary going to Elizabeth, of, you know, to be something new, not just this is the annual visit, but to go in a spirit of to bring something, not just
open heart,
yeah, with an open heart, and to bring something to them, which is the love of God. And if each one of us met the other person constantly with that spirit of Mary, bringing the Christ that's within us, we not only receive, because mm-hmm. as we give, we receive, but also they do, and they recognize something new. Mm-hmm. And this, especially in our society today, the world is yearning and longing for Christ, and we have the responsibility to bring him as Mary brought him to not only Elizabeth, but to others as well.
Well, and it's going to be a beautiful, not just for these next 2 days before Christmas, but just for the whole next year and the year of faith to think about that.
Continue.
And
it's a lifelong journey.
Yeah, lifelong. You know, and Bishop, I want to talk about the Mass at the Cathedral, because you're going to be celebrating Midnight Mass on the
right.
24th. And I just happened to see in the South Texas Catholic that they're going to have the children's and the adult choir, but the music starts at 11:15, but they said you need to show up at about 10:45 to get a seat. So you're going to have a full house. You don't.
I don't. I have a reserved seat.
But for the rest of us, that are going, we need to show up early.
Yeah.
So that we can hear the beautiful music and the joy that's going to
be
filled.
Hopefully in every parish there will be the same. And I know that it's a great event in every parish and every family. So we certainly encourage you to be present. Either at the cathedral or at your parish church to welcome Christ mm-hmm. again in a new way this mm-hmm. year. And I will certainly be at the cathedral at midnight and looking forward to seeing those that are there.
And if the Vigil Mass and the Christmas Day Masses, and if you miss Mass for a little while, this is the perfect time for you to go and see the beauty
always
of the season.
Welcome back, certainly.
Always. Well, Bishop, if you could close our session with a prayer and a blessing, please.
Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ your Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. All of us wish you and your families a blessed Christmas. Enjoy the rest of your day.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.